Bismillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to yet another episode of the Virtual Salon. And if this is your first time here, welcome. If you are a veteran or a patron of this space, I just want to say a big jazakallahu khairan and thank you so much for being here for this whole journey. The Virtual Salon is a safe space for Muslim experts, creatives, thinkers, academics, practitioners, activists to come together to talk about some of the issues that are affecting our community. And we are here to listen and to learn and to speak and be heard and to heal, inshallah. So it is really with so much pleasure that I am introducing. This is our first time in the salon where we have just one guest. And this guest is, if you guys follow me at all, you'll know that she is someone very, very special to me. And she is none other than Layinka Sani, who is a self-transformation expert. She is a coach. She is a speaker. Mashallah, some of you may know her from Honesty Talk, which was is a groundbreaking series of conversations between Muslim women. And it is a real honor to have Layinka Sani for the first time on the Virtual Salon and here from us, mashallah. So Layinka, I'm so happy that you could make it. Welcome, sis, welcome. Firstly, help us to understand exactly what's happening. And secondly, you know, how can we disrupt those patterns?
Sometimes the voices in our head, the state are actually statements, phrases, things that we've heard growing up. And we've picked up and we've internalized. Yeah. Imagine a child has been told they're stupid enough, they're going to believe they're stupid. Yeah. And they're going to live that as a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm stupid, right? And so sometimes our environment shapes our internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Now, we all have internal dialogue, every single one of us, right? And we all have thoughts. Our mind communicates with us in thoughts and pictures. Yeah. And so what most people don't realize is that their life, their day to day is based on those thought patterns. Mm. What they are thinking on a day to day basis. And what people don't realize is that they also send their mind, their unconscious mind, or sometimes called subconscious mind, messages through their dialogue. So it's, if you say, and I've found this so incredible in I can't say the word, kinesiology is the science behind muscle tension. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you were to measure the strength of muscle tension when someone has a negative thought pattern, it's weaker than when they have a positive thought pattern.
Wow, really?
It affects the muscle in a physiological manner. So you can actually overpower someone who is typically strong when they are having a negative thought pattern running in their head. Something as simple as, I'm so stupid, on loop, will weaken them physically, that you could overpower them.
What?
It's unreal. And the opposite is true. And the opposite is true. I tried it. I did it myself. I would do a demo with people here, but I did it myself once to test. I was like, this is a whole nonsense. And I was like, far out. Like, my muscles are weaker when I'm in this negative thought pattern. So even if you're working out and you're like, oh my God, this is killing me. Oh my God, this is burning. Oh my God, this is like I'm going to die. You are actually weakening yourself in that time, in that space, because you are giving yourself that message on loop that it's killing you. Disrupting the pattern is as easy as paying attention. Most people don't recognize that they can actually listen in to themselves.
Yes.
We run on autopilot so much that we don't recognize there's that thought again. Yeah, there's that. Yeah. Why am I feeling like it's the thought that I feel that I'm actually dumb?
Yeah. Yes. SubhanAllah. Yeah. Go on.
Slow down. I always tell people, slow down. Take breaths. Actually breathe.
Yeah.
Conscious breath is so fascinating in slowing down the process of thought and the process of feeling. Whenever I tell people, one of the things that I teach is, when you are in like a really heightened state, all you've got to do is breathe. All you've got to do
my go-to is as well.
Breathe. Yes. And you can actually start to hear, and you can start to feel, and you can start to see, oh, yeah, okay, all right, I'm telling you. In my mind that he's an idiot. Yes, yes. You can start to see truly what's going on for you when you take a breath. That's always my go-to. People say, oh my God, how can I do it? Just breathe. It's so easy to breathe.
Yeah.
We're not telling you to now get a journal and write down things and explore the internal world. Just breathe. You know those moments when you want to wring your child's neck and you take a breath and you don't do it? That's what's happening.
That's the power from the breath. Breathing power. Oh my goodness. Wait, can we just, everyone, just take a breath,
take
right?
Take a breath.
Now. Take a breath, everyone.
Doesn't it feel good? And listen, you people who have taken a breath, right, and you're holding your abs because you want to have the flat ab look, your abs need to pop out because you're breathing into the deep part. You're into your diaphragm, right? You need your belly to bulge when you're taking. Okay, forget about flat
abs. That belly, yes. Subhanallah. So guys, listen, that. You learned that from today. True breath is not up here in the chest. It's the diaphragm, it's the stomach coming out, okay, and filling with air and then going back in again. And yeah, try that.
So I
wanted us to take a breath there because, you know, that slowing down. And I remember when I had, you know, you and I were working together and I was just overwhelmed with so much stuff. And you asked me to do monotasking, where I had to just only concentrate on the thing at hand, the task at hand.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful for me. But that thing of breathing, I don't know how many people, they get so tired of me now because you can hear, it's like you can see them getting worked up. You can see them going there and it's just like, okay, breathe, just breathe. And you see them coming down. You see them coming down.
You know what is so incredible? When I'm on the phone with someone or if I'm like with a client or whatever, I can hear when the anxiety has started to kick in.
For sure.
Hear it.
Yeah.
And I just say, do you know what? Just take a breath. Mm-hmm. Just take a breath. And they're like, oh my God. How did you know I needed to do that?
I can actually hear it.
Hear the pace. You have just gone from 0 to 200 there. And I can hear it. Just breathe. For some people, actually, it's the breath and move. You need to stand up. If you're sitting down, stop. Breaking the pattern that you're using. Just check your body. Check your body when you are out of sync, when you are feeling like the heightened emotion. Check your body. And what you are doing with your face, what are you doing with your shoulders?
Yes.
You know, you are so hella tense and you just do a shoulder roll back.
Yes.
That just felt good. Just now.
Yes.
Oh, yes. What you're doing with your body and your breath are so powerful. They're so powerfully linked. You know, it's like they say, and we learned when we went to UPW together, you know, try and smile when you're feeling angry. Just try and smile. Try. Smile when you're feeling hella angry. Yeah. You know that smile is going to break the pattern.
It is. Yeah.
Or laugh. Laugh. You look like a mad person, but laugh. Yes.
Yeah,
and it'll break the pattern.
Yeah.
Because what you do with your body impacts you too.
Yeah. One of the things that I love to share with my clients, and, you know, we learned this together, is, you know, how to change your state. And when we learned from Tony Robbins, you know, he really talked about how you can tell, you know, there's a physiology of your state. If it's depressed, if it's sad, if it's scared, there's a body language involved. Yeah. There is a tone of voice. There is a posture. There is a focus. You know, there's an energy to it. And one of the things what were the things that he said about changing state? He said to change your focus, to change the language that you're using.
change your body.
To change your physiology, like what we're talking about, which is, you know, stand up if you're sitting down. Guys, if you're feeling upset or in that dark place, I'm not going to say depressed, but in that dark place, you know what it's like. You stay in bed, you stay curled up, you know, you're hunched. You've got that line between your brows, you know, you're in there. But the thing is, it's like you were saying about, there is a point at which you can pull yourself back from that.
Yes.
That you can come back from that. And it's when you're paying attention and you feel yourself going down that negative road and you say, what's coming up for me right now? What's happening? Why am I going this direction? Do I want to go down this direction right now? And if not, what can I do to change, to course correct?
Yeah. And you know, something that I've noticed, if people were to, you know, if you, when you're in a down space and you tell yourself, and you were to notice and acknowledge that you're feeling this way. Most people don't acknowledge their emotions. They feel like that's not a thing.
Let's think, because I want to know from the people who are watching this. Firstly, do you agree that most people do not want to acknowledge their emotions? And if so, why? Why do we do this? Is it culture? Is it fear? Is it how we've been raised? Is it that we think it's not Islamic? I want to hear from those.
Yeah, I want to hear from them too.
Yeah, let's see. What y'all saying? Do you think, and also we have a request to teach us more about monotasking. So Noreen says it's autopilot. Ignore the emotions and stuff them away. Ombasha says that it's culture that teaches us to ignore those emotions. What else, guys? Any other reasons why? It's painful. It's how we've been raised. It's hard to face them because then you actually have to do something and we're not ready or willing yet. What will other people think about me? Culture, again, the way we were raised, subhanAllah. Go on, sis, you were saying.
Yeah, there is this, I'm not positive thinking camp, by the way.
Okay.
People might see it like my work and like, oh yeah, you're positive. No. Listen, life comes with its challenges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us he will test us, right? And we are humans. If we wanted, if he didn't want us to feel, we'd have been like a rock or something, you know? he's made us as human beings. So we feel. Feeling is bad. No emotion is bad.
Say that again for the people in the back.
That is bad. Anger isn't bad. Fear isn't bad. Frustration isn't bad. Hurt isn't bad. No emotion is bad, yo. It's about whether you're going to live in the emotion and what you do with that emotion.
Thank you. She said what she said. Y'all better quote that and tag me on Instagram.
Okay.
She said what she said.
No emotion is bad. And this is something, subhanAllah, I advocate and I always teach people. One of the best ways to honor yourself and your humanity is to acknowledge how you feel.
To acknowledge. Keep going, sis. I'm loving it. I just want to bask in it. Just keep going. I'm hearing this, receiving this. I hope you guys are receiving this. Like, I'm receiving this. Okay. This is my message. Thank you, Allah. Carry on.
Acknowledge how you feel. You're a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this circumstance and you feel it. I right now feel, name it, label it. Mm-hmm. And this is important because we have human beings who are so emotionally illiterate. They only have angry and sad in their mind. They don't know the nuances. They don't know rage. They don't know frustration. They don't know disappointed. They don't know. Listen, your book with Mufti Menk, my daughter now is using resentment all over the place. I'm feeling resentment.
Oh, bless. I'm feeling resentment right now.
You know, like, we don't have the language to describe. Listen, everybody, go on google.com. and download an emotion wheel to enhance your emotional literacy and see how much emotion, how many emotions there are that you could use to describe how you're feeling. Because one of my clients, I remember, she said, I've realized that everything that I've been saying that is leading me to anger, I'm not actually angry. I'm just a bit disappointed or I'm just a bit frustrated. Yeah. I'm not actually angry. And when you expand your emotional vocabulary, then you can start to acknowledge what's really going on for you. If you were to acknowledge, I'm feeling angry right now, what is the choice that I want to make from this place?
Right.
You are empowered to move.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to live in that anger. Often what we choose is, oh, this emotion, this I'm feeling down, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling sad, is that's it, and it stops there.
Mm-hmm.
And then people stew in that place. Right. Feel what you want to feel, but what do you want to do now?
Right. Are you going to stay there?
Are we going to stay there? You had the choice. Stay there. Lie down.
Make your home there.
Great. Do it. Wow. Stay. Mm-hmm. Or you can make a choice even though you feel that way. I'm feeling angry right now. And I think once I did an IG live, I was hella fuming one day. I was like, I'm feeling angry and I'm going to go for a walk.
Okay.
And that's what I was angry and I acknowledged it, but I knew that, okay, I'm going to need to move.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise I'm going to stay in this rage.
Yeah, exactly. Go on,
my love.
No, we've just got a question here, mashallah, that sister's asking, which I think is quite pertinent. And she says, how do you snap out of it when you know it is a recurring problem?
Mm.
And it's easier to just accept it than to repeatedly snap out of it. What are your thoughts on that?
It's easier to, is it easier?
She's
saying it's easier. So my question is it really easier or is it just more convenient?
Hitting us with those difficult questions.
Right? Is it easier or is it just, you know what, I don't need to, it's just more convenient. Let me just stay there. Yeah, do you know what? When you all go into the gym of life, yeah? You know you can't be picking up those 100 kg weights out there. You need to start with the little little hand weights. Right? The little 1 kg weights. Right? Because you know that 100 kg weight is going to be hella hard to carry. But we have told ourselves, you know what? I'm not even going to carry any weight because that 100 kg is hard.
SubhanAllah. Wow.
Rather than sticking with it, do you know what? You're not going to get it perfect. Yes, it's going to be challenging at the beginning, but you are going to build so much muscle that it's going to be that you can do it on autopilot without thinking. But you have to give yourself the permission to ride it out. You can give up or you can keep going.
Listen, I'm not going to say we're in church today. Because we're not. I can't even say we're in masjid today because you wouldn't be giving the khutbah. But this is, just preach for us now. We're hearing about the gym of life.
About the hand
weights. So I just want to draw attention to this, this wheel. I've put a link in the chat. And subhanAllah, check this out, guys. Under sad, we've got depressed, hurt, bereft, melancholy, subdued, aggrieved, discouraged. And then beyond that, we've got bleak, despondent, deflated, injured, disconsolate, inconsolable, forlorn, sorrowful, gloomy, somber, agonized, desolate, small, broken. I think we need to make a new lexicon. We need to make a new book with Mufti Menk and say, dude, you see those emotions that I put on the end? Not enough. We need more language. We need to language this out. Language. Oh my goodness me. Wow.
Honestly, we do. We do. We need it for ourselves to equip ourselves and we need to equip our kids because our kids have only got 3 words in their vocabulary and that's all they know emotions to be.
Yeah.
And it's quite sad. But I say, you know, subhanAllah, Just being able to label it, not say it's mine, just label it as what I'm currently feeling.
Yeah.
And making a choice from that.
SubhanAllah. It's massive. And I think having that sort of emotional intelligence, I guess you would call it, would you refer to it as an emotional intelligence when you're able to recognize yeah. what's coming up for you and name it and then just make a decision.
It's intelligence and literacy, because literacy is the words and okay. intelligence is that recognition.
What you're doing with it. Yes. Yeah. And a sister said here, what do you do when you make the intention to try, you actually want to, but you still fall in the ditch again?
Don't
so
try.
I'm assuming that, you know, you, what do you do with these hand weights now? You make the intention to try
don't,
the hand
don't
weight.
Try. Don't try. I want you to actually ditch the word try from your vocabulary.
I agree with that.
Try and pick up a chair. Try and pick up a chair. You don't go and say, I'm going to try and pray today. No, you get your behind up. I was going to say a different word there. You're going to get your behind up and you pray, right? I'm not going to try and pray my 5 salawats. You either do it or you don't, right? Like Yoda says, you do or you don't. There's no try. When you, and I think I've done a podcast about this, you know, like when we use the word try is because we've already decided that there's inherent failure in
100%. Yes.
So I even say to people, look, are you going to do it or not? Don't tell me try. You're going to do yes or no. If you're going to, if it's a no, it's a no. If it's a yes, it's a yes. Right? And if it doesn't work out, I know that you did your best. Right?
And alhamdulillah ma shafa'al.
Alhamdulillah
ma shafa'al. Like we do the work, Allah brings the results, you know? But if we don't even do the work, how can we hope for the results? This is the vain hope, you know, that people have. Somehow things will change. I can stay the same. I can be as I was. I don't have to move from this comfortable place, but somehow Allah is going to change my situation. But what is that ayah that us coaches love so much?
Allah does not change
the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. Okay.
But you know, I do want to address that question besides the try. And a lot of the time, people don't have there are two things. Either they don't have concrete destination. I just want to be happier. What does that mean?
Right. Yeah.
I want to be nicer to my kids. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
How will you know that you're being nicer to your kids? Mm-hmm. What specifically would be happening? Yeah. What specifically would you be seeing, hearing, feeling when you're nicer to your kids first? So it's so generalized, it's so unspecific that you don't even know if you've reached the destination or not. And the second thing, sometimes you have decided that it has to look like this. And if it doesn't look like this, then I'm a failure. I flopped.
You didn't get it. Yeah, it didn't come through.
You know, if all the things and the sparkles and the rainbows didn't come out, then that one there, it didn't work out. And those two are the biggest downfalls I've seen when people say that they want to try to do something, they want to try to change. You either don't even have it, you don't know it, you don't have evidence of it, or you have decided it must be like this.
Yeah.
And if it must be, if it's not like this, then you have an issue.
Yeah.
Flexibility is so important. If you decide, oh, you know, I want to be better with my kids today, or, you know, I want to be more productive tomorrow. Okay, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Specific. What does productive mean?
Mm-hmm.
For you, what does that look like? What has to happen in order for you to be productive?
Yeah.
And does productive to you, have you decided that productive means that every single item on the list has to be ticked?
Mm-hmm.
Are you setting yourself up to win?
Oh, I love that. Wait a second, because this is something I love to talk about with people. And that is when we set the rules for success in a way that ensures that we fail.
Yes.
So talk to us on that, girl. What you got for us on that, girl?
You put all the criteria that you know you ain't even gonna do it. You know you're not gonna make it. And it's almost like, well, you see, I tried. No, babes. What happened is you put so much up against yourself that you wouldn't even make it. You wouldn't even make it to that destination. It's like saying that, let me see, in order to say that I have done a good job, I need to have washed the dishes, washed the clothes, mopped the floor, done all the shelves, cleaned out all the packs.
Unrealistic, yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Cut yourself some slack.
Yeah.
Be kind to yourself. Be realistic.
Mm.
And set yourself up to win. You know, when you've just, if you want to redefine winning as just two items, two things, just taking deep breaths, whatever it might be, just set yourself up to win. Because you know what? When you win just one day, you're like, your brain's like, I like this feeling. Yes. Can we do this again tomorrow, please?
Yes. It's a positive override. It's just that positive enforcement to say, you know, it feels good.
It feels
and that's
good.
That's the thing. And that's another thing, you know, that I really find that I'm talking about with my clients a lot is how scared we are to feel good.
Mm.
How we love to put rules in place, tell ourselves stories.
Why?
You know, have conversations that do not make us feel good. And I'm like, why? You know, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why do you write a to-do list that really, you know, is impossible, right? You set the rules up so that at the end of the day, you're not going to feel a sense of achievement, a sense of fulfillment. You're not going to finish all those things. And in the end, of course, all you do is berate yourself to say, I knew I couldn't have done it. I'm such a this. I always do that. I never do this. And then the whole negative spiral just continues. Why are we so scared of feeling good? Guys, give me some. Give us something in the chat. Why are we so afraid of good about ourselves and our lives and what we're trying to do here?
Because feeling bad is so familiar.
Oh, la ilaha illallah.
Feeling bad is so familiar. You want me to what? You want me to start giving myself high fives out here? Let me just say, stick with what I know. And remember the stories that we tell ourselves. If I start feeling good about myself, maybe I'm going to become arrogant. Maybe I'm going to get uppity and up in my own behind and love myself off too much. Maybe people aren't going to like me anymore. Maybe I'm going to lose friendships. Maybe I'm going to lose people who, you know, I currently lean on and for support. There are so many stories. Everyone's got their own tailor-made story about why they shouldn't succeed, that maybe not feeling worthy of it. I'm not good enough. I committed that sin 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to keep paying the price for it now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's story is different, but there is a story there that's keeping people in that space of familiarity of negativity about themselves, about their life. And sometimes change is just hella scary. It's so unfamiliar that it's hella scary. Like, I had a client today share, I'm so scared of this new me that's emerging. I'm so scared, Leinka. Like, I am seeing changes happening to me. And you know, it's this point, and I love the fact she shared this, because it's this point that most people self-sabotage and go back to where they to where they've come from, right? This point, they're like, oh my God, I'm actually standing up for myself and I'm using my voice and people are getting a bit uncomfortable. Let me just sit down. It's that point that people are like regressing and going back.
Yeah.
But recognizing the story and what's going on and how you're feeling and what you've told yourself will happen if you change, if you become better, if you start acknowledging yourself, if you start loving yourself.
It's so disruptive because we have not been raised like that. We've been raised to minimize ourselves for others, to erase ourselves for others, to make sure, you know, always prioritize other people and other people's feelings over our own, subhanAllah. Mm. So it's a very uncomfortable space to be, but if you can lean into that discomfort and kind of that edge that you're on, I really believe that once you push through that, that's where the growth happens. That's the stretch zone, the growth zone.
I would say even just focusing on the purpose of that growth in the first place. Why? Like, what's the purpose of it? What is the outcome you're really looking for?
Mm.
And is the pain staying as you are greater than the pain of change? Is it really?
I've got some input from our viewers, and they were talking about why it is that we don't want to feel good and how we are so comfortable feeling bad. And the sister said that we compare ourselves to others.
You know,
we're used to all of that, the comparison, and also because we're overachievers and basing our lives on other people's priorities, which I think is so, so true, especially in certain communities. It's like your life is not your own. Your life is
everyone else's.
Someone else's template, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, that we set standards for ourselves are much higher than what we expect of others. And you know, I love this one: the fear of the new, that the new you will be strange for others.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. It will be. It will be. I say to people that you will lose people, and it's important to become to recognize you will lose people. Maybe losing people in the sense that some people can't handle your light anymore and they don't want to put on shades. Some people feel threatened by you and your change. And some people feel threatened that you're going to leave them. Some people see your changes and they start having insecurities about themselves that start coming up. Like, oh my God, you know, I'm staying like this and I'm not changing. And now she's too good for me, you know, or she's going to ditch me because I'm not good enough for her anymore. So there are loads of things that other people will have. You want to decide if you're going to take their story and have that, their story is your own narrative, because it's not your mess.
SubhanAllah. Got some fantastic feedback in the comments here. And there's a question here, I don't know whether you saw it, about teenagers' depression. They say depression in quotes. And so a 15-year-old girl, when there is no one to believe them or consider their mindset, and the other sister kind of backed that up and said, how can you acknowledge a young person or child's low mood and negative thoughts without encouraging them to sit in it? What are your thoughts on that?
My question is acknowledgement the same as encouragement, or is acknowledgement just validation and validating your right to feel a certain way? I think often we see, if we feel like if I don't acknowledge it, then they will stop having this feeling, which is so wrong, because the very thing that child needs is to be seen and heard. And in being seen and heard, they know it's okay to feel low.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they have a right to feel low. When you say, what are you upset about anyway?
Mm.
You are telling that child, you're dismissing them and what they're feeling. But you're also telling that child, you don't have a right to feel this way. I don't even see you. I don't hear you. And this is a dangerous space for a child to be in, because they will go and find someone or somewhere that they will be seen and heard. And that's why addiction to social media is so rife, because most young people feel seen and heard by their peers or strangers on social media.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask this, for anyone else who's thinking of this, subhanAllah, sometimes they're in an emotional state.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is like, almost, I don't want to say the words that you use, which is, you don't have the right to feel like this. But you know, when they're upset about, the game, for example, the computer's lagging, okay? So they lost the Fortnite battle, for example, right?
Yeah.
And you just think to yourself, like, why are you even talking to me about this thing? Do you really think I care about this thing? I do not. In fact, I don't want you to play that game at all. So how can we validate our children without kind of, I don't know whether I'm making any sense here.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. It's like,
someone's asking, when is it
that deep though? But it's interesting to me, because for young people, everything matters. Yeah. Everything. Everything is a big deal.
It's true.
Me dropping that last piece of ice cream, like bit of ice cream on the floor. You don't know how much I wanted that ice cream in my belly. You don't even know how much I wanted that, right? And you saying, oh, it's just a bit of ice cream. They're just like, wait, you don't see how big a deal this is to me. I don't matter to you. This is the ongoing narrative. I'm not enough. I don't matter. What I think and feel doesn't matter.
That is
what I feel and think isn't good enough for you.
Because it's not enough. What you want me to think and not what you want me to feel. because I know what you want me to feel and I'm not feeling that right now, and therefore
and do you know what, it's enough to just say, I hear you. I know that I hear you. Not even that you get it, because you don't get it, because you're lying, you don't get it, but just to say, I hear you. And I know that means a lot to you. It doesn't mean a lot to me, but it's not about me, because I'm not one feeling the feelings. Who is feeling the feelings? And I get it. And I know that it matters to you. Do you want to talk about it? And sometimes just having that invitation to talk and to offload, that's all they need. They don't need you to fix it often. Mm-hmm. They just need to be seen and to be heard and to feel like they matter. That's it. And you know, the moment you do that, right? The moment you just give them that space, sometimes that's it. The problem has gone. So it's not encouraging. If you notice, it's not encouraging. It's just to say, I see you, I hear you, and you matter. Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, if you want to put out the invitation, do you want any help or support with that? Then you can bring that in, mm-hmm. right? But just to have space, subhanAllah, safe space for teams, mm-hmm. is so just to have a space to say, I feel like this has happened, blah, blah, blah. I think we could avoid so many issues if we had those safe spaces and created those safe spaces. And I hear people saying, you know, culturally it's bizarre. Look, listen, I didn't grow up talking to my family. You know, I've had to learn to talk. I've had to learn to express emotions as still till this day as a 35-year-old woman, I'm still learning to express my emotions vulnerably to people I love because I wasn't trained to do that as a child.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not, you know, there isn't a magic wand, or it's a process. Mm-hmm. And it's a process of being comfortable with being uncomfortable and allowing yourself to go there.
SubhanAllah, wow, I think you gave us a lot more than we came here for. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every one of you what you needed from this session. I know I've got a couple of people, we've got a bit of an open mic now where people can come on. I can unmute you, you can come on video and share, inshallah. But I've got Madiha here who would like to have a chat. Anybody else, if you want to come on, please just raise your hand in Zoom or send me a private message, inshallah, and I will give you permission to speak, inshallah. So Madiha, you can go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sis.
My heart is racing right now. As you said, like, unmute yourself. My heart rate went up. I don't know if Lenka remembers, we worked together last year.
Girl.
Yes, and I think that's the reason I wanted to raise hand, because the work that she did with me, I don't know if she realizes it. I don't think I've told her how much I have achieved since I've worked with her. And for me, listening to her today, it was just I was recalling everything that we talked about in those sessions and everything. And subhanAllah, I can say this, you know, she took me out of, the negative space that I was in at that time. Because before that, I never acknowledged that there was ever an issue with me. It was always about the other people, blaming others. Like, you know, parents did this, relatives did that, family and friends did that. And I remember that she gave me this analogy of, like, you know, putting me on the helicopter, which I would love to do that in real life one day. But she's like, you know, look at your life. And then, because I was constantly talking about everything that had gone wrong, how my life was like so bad and how it was getting worse and worse and worse every day. And then I realized, I don't know if she remembers, I said, now I realize that even my tests were given to me on a silver platter.
I remember that conversation.
And since then, I have worked so much on myself. And what I realized was that growing or getting yourself out of that negative space, changing yourself physically, emotionally, psychologically, it involves a lot of heavy lifting. And letting go of things means that I have to do all the work. And staying put means just blame it on other people and just not show up, just not move. But then I realized I have to do the work, and I realized what I was capable of, to the point where I think I said that to her, but I wrote it in my journal that I'm scared of what I am capable of.
Yes, I remember.
It was, and I've had a lot of revelations about myself since then. And it's just been next step and next step and next step. And it's always been like, I fall down, because we're human beings and life is, you know, life throws, you know, a lot of stuff at you every day. You never get a break. Yeah. But I've realized that, you know what? All the things that I thought that I failed at, I've actually realized that I not survived, I thrived through those negative emotions and negative experiences. And every single time I've learned something that has helped me in the next process. And through the next negative experience, I've learned something that opened my eyes to another whole experience. Mm. And all these things that I've learned, I would have never learned them if my life was so-called perfect, or if it was like really good and I had the best of everything.
Yeah.
But this was the plan that Allah had made for me. And subhanAllah, I have surprised myself over and over again that, you know what, this is what I'm capable of. And it all came from acknowledging that, let's just stop pointing fingers at other people. Let's just pay attention to myself. What am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling it? And why am I holding on to this right now?
Mm.
What's going to happen if I let go of this? What's going to happen? And then I realized, you know what? I keep saying something worse is going to happen. But what's worse going to happen? Like, I'll be back to square one, which is where I am right now. So let me experience something new. Let me not try. Let me do something new. And then the worst case scenario is I'll be back to where I am right now. And I'm pretty comfortable there. And I think Naima knows that. But Lainka, I haven't told. I've started my food business as well, which I thought I'll end up killing people, but I'm running it successfully. So I have definitely surprised myself. And I've recognized what my potential is, what skills I have, without putting myself down over and over again with that inner mean girl, or you've not been to college, you don't have qualifications, your family did this, they think you're stupid, you're ignorant, you're this, you're that. That mean girl keeps coming back to me. But then I say, you know what? I've done this, which I thought 10 years ago or even last year that I couldn't do it. And the things that I've achieved in past 1 year, I never ever thought in my entire life that I would do that stuff. And to be honest, it's all happened when I started loving and caring for myself, appreciating myself, giving myself credit, rather than giving other people the credit for like all the negative stuff. I started giving myself credit for how I survived and I thrived despite all that happened. And now when I have bad days, I step back and I say, you know what? I'm having a bad day, and it's just a bad day. That's it. That's all it is.
Can I jump in there?
Yes, you can.
I think it's really important for other ladies to know that a day is only bad when you choose for it to be bad, meaning that there are moments in a day. And usually it's one moment that we allow to become a bad day.
Yep, true.
One moment. But if you allow that one moment to just remain as that one moment that you, that wasn't useful, that wasn't good, that was bad, if you want to use that language, I don't particularly like it, but
yeah.
If we allowed just that moment to be bad, then the whole day doesn't have to be ruined. The whole day doesn't have to be bad, right? And that is so important to recognize, because then you know, okay, I can have a good day that had included a bad moment.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's, I think, alhamdulillah, now I've started to, instead of like waiting for big things to happen, like we had the conversation in our very first session, that I have the habit of looking at, you know, I like to go into details, like details matter a lot to me, every small things, rather than looking at a bigger picture. Yeah. And what I've started to do is like, alhamdulillah, I've started living in the moment and enjoying even this, like the so-called small wins are now like the big wins for me. Like just enjoying a cup of coffee, sitting outside, having sun on my face, just hearing the birds chirping. That's like, for me, it's like, subhanAllah, I'm experiencing that. And that's like, it changes my physiology. And the same thing, like over the past few months, when as soon as this COVID thing happened, I had few triggers, and I had a lot of panic attacks, a lot of anxiety. And I just told myself to slow down. And I did. And alhamdulillah, that helped me. Rather than me trying to say, no, I'm in a survival mode, I need to keep going. I reminded myself that I need to slow down. I need to show up for myself, deal with the emotions right now so they don't keep up, they don't keep brewing up and explode later. So if I have got an issue, let me deal with it right now, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, I never thought that I would do this, but I went into therapy for myself because I knew there were things that I had not dealt with. And just doing that for myself, it gave a lot of, like, I felt very powerful, because up till that time, I just, you know, when we said culture, and I kept telling myself this story that I can't talk about my emotions, I can't talk about my feelings because other people will get hurt. But at the end of the day, everybody else is fine. It's me who's suffering.
They know their story,
but I'm putting too much weight on my own shoulders. I'm trying to carry the weight of the whole world, like, you know, the whole family, or I have to think about the whole, like, the clan of like 1,000 people and think like, oh, I have to think about their feelings. So let me just keep mine in.
And you know what's interesting about that? When Allah talks about saving ourselves from the hellfire, it mentions us to save ourselves first. SubhanAllah. Not save your kids, not save your family. Actually save yourself first. And yeah. So what is the lesson there? That actually we matter the most first, and then taking care of others.
Yeah, because I realized I had come to the point where not prioritizing myself or my own mental health, my emotional well-being, my physical health, it had come to the point where it was affecting my iman. And that's where I said, you know what? It's, Allah keeps saying, like, in the grave, it's just going to be me. There's not going to be nobody else. If I'm doing things, if I'm not in a good state of mind and I'm not giving my 100% or even my best in my salah because of that, that's not fair. I need to work on my own emotional well-being so that I can be there for my own salah, for, you know, to enjoy that time, to experience that time, that conversation between me and my creator.
Yeah.
Why am I letting my feelings towards other people or my resentment and holding on to this stuff getting in the way of me and my conversation with my creator.
And I think, Radhika, if I can just jump in there, because now we're going to have to round up, but one of the things that I really appreciate you coming on and, you know, being so honest with us and sharing so honestly, mashallah, because I think your story, obviously, you know, you've worked with Layinka, you've worked with me, and I think that your story really is an example of what we're talking about today, which is when you change the narrative and you change the story that you're telling yourself about your whole life, you can literally, nothing else has to change, my dear brothers and sisters. That's the reality. Nothing else has to change. It is literally how you view the situation, the perspective that you have, the language that you use, that will alter a situation from being good or bad. Because, Layinka, you've got that wonderful, I always use it now, but that analogy of the two sides of the coin. Maybe share that with everybody before we round up, because I think it's so powerful. People think that a situation is all bad or all good.
Yeah, so I always use that.
And no matter, you could never change it from being bad. And if it was good, it was good. But what's your coin analogy?
My coin analogy is, you know, when you have a coin, it's heads or tails. And just having heads facing you doesn't diminish the fact that tails exist. Mm-hmm. And having tails facing you doesn't diminish the fact that heads exist. Mm-hmm. So if heads, let's say, was positive, or the, you know, the benefits, the opportunities or whatever, just because there are benefits and opportunities doesn't mean that there's pain, right? But just because there's pain, it also doesn't mean that there are opportunities and benefits either. It doesn't, one, focusing on one doesn't actually diminish the existence of the other. We have a choice and we have agency to choose what we want to focus on. And what we focus on is what we will get. I have seen women who have lived through experiences where, just from their mindset changing, the experience of that experience has changed. The man is still nonsense. He's still not taking care of his kids. Yeah. He's still trying to be like a bachelor out there. But because of her shift, she's choosing differently in how she responds and shows up in that situation. Mm-hmm. Environment might not change, but because you have, it is the ayah in the Quran just showed. You change what is going on within you, your circumstance changes, your situation changes. Not necessarily the way that, but the way you
feel it, your experience
of it and your interpretation of it.
Yeah.
So anything you want it to be.
And that is life. Our lives are our experiences of our circumstances. There's no one reality.
Yes,
you have your own version of reality based on your perspective, your experience of that. So, you know, you can have the exact same test as somebody else, but because of your mindset, you can experience that test differently. And we all do. You know, in neuro-linguistic programming, they've got that picture of the brain, and they show how we are taking in, you know, information, but the information is not coming into your brain unfiltered and then the truth of that is in your head. No, you're filtering. We're filtering all the time. Our childhood, our culture, our background, how we were raised, you know, what we were told growing up, our education, our own personal experiences are all filters for how we process that information, how we process that situation, and then how we choose to respond to that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly powerful when you realize that, and this is what we mean when we say that you have a choice. This is what we mean when we say you have a choice. No one can control if you interpret something to be a certain way except you. Mm-hmm. And nothing means anything, as Tony Robbins says. Mm-hmm. Nothing means anything except the meaning that we give it. Yeah. So you choose what it means. Mm-hmm. You choose if, you know, that bowl of rice falling on the floor means you're going to starve today, or if it means, you know what, that wasn't meant for me, let me go and find something else to eat.
Yeah.
You choose.
I love that. And definitely this is like the first of many. Inshallah, we have to.
Dang it, you wrote me in.
Part one. This is a part one. all my brothers and sisters who are watching this, I just want to thank you so much for joining me in the virtual salon today and my extra special guest, Layinka Sani. It's always a blessing to have you with us. May Allah preserve you and your family and all your work and all your wonderful clients and the people who you serve, mashallah. Guys, at Layinka Sani on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, mainly Instagram. She doesn't mess with Facebook, to be fair. She made dua for her. Follow her on Instagram. DM her if you know if something resonated with you today, and you know you want to go further with her, inshallah. And please don't forget to share this once it's released on YouTube. Please do share this. I think there's so many gems here that so many people need to hear. And virtual salon, as you know, is pretty much weekly. Now that the Eids are gone, we don't have any more excuses out here. So every week, inshallah, it's going to be us. Normally, I have more guests, but I'm going to be switching it up. Sometimes it's going to be one-on-one. Sometimes it's going to be a whole big panel. Sometimes it's sisters only. Sometimes it's brothers only. But as you know, this is a safe space for all brothers and sisters to come and learn, except for when it is our monthly sisters sessions, which are exclusively for the sisters. And if you came to the last one on hijab, you know the level of conversation, the level of discussion, mashallah, tabarakallah. The next one is this coming Friday and Saturday. It's a two-day event where we are going to be learning about the secrets of successful Muslim wives, inshallah. And we've got an all-star cast. We've got Megan Wyatt, mashallah. We've got Village Auntie. We've got Talha from Marital Art. We've got Maryam Lim.
I have got my ticket.
I saw you got your ticket. Yes. So guys, there is the link, inshallah, to get your tickets. It's bit.ly/wivesconversation. Do not miss out, bi'idhnillah, because we've got the coaches from the polygamy coaches as well. You know them, the salon, Naila and Fatima, they're going to be there. So it's going to be a salon like this on the Friday. And then on the Saturday, there'll be individual seminars from each one of the participants, inshallah. So they'll be teaching their special secret sauce. And I have heard them all speak. I'm looking forward to. Who are you looking forward to, Layinka? Who are you most looking forward to?
Oh, you know.
I know, but I just want you to tell people who you're looking forward to.
Village Auntie, of course.
Village Auntie, yes. We stand. Also, Maryam Lemu, because I've seen her in action in Nigeria, and I know that she's going to bring that girlfriend energy, okay? You know what I mean? Then you better come and see, inshallah. And we've got so many other wonderful sisters coming as well. We've got Megan Wyatt with her fearless vulnerability. We've got the teachers. It's just going to be wild. So please, guys, get your tickets, and we'll see you next Friday, inshallah. And until then, please be safe and be blessed, bi-idhnillah. And we'll see you on the other side, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanaka Allahumma rabbana wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Enjoyed this conversation and you would like to become part of the virtual salon family, consider becoming a patron. From just £5 a month, you can get access to our chat community, to be invited to our live sessions, and get exclusive content that we only create for our patrons. Be part of the movement. Sign up on Patreon today.